All right, kingdom teaching. We're going to teach on faith. Hope you've been enjoying this and it's empowering you to walk in a greater relationship with God. I know there's a lot of ouchies concerning what we're going to be talking about. We're continuing to speak about the tongue, teaching on faith, but dealing with the tongue. I believe we have all kinds of altar calls for adultery, addictions, and all that. I think we should lay our tongues on the altar. That would be a pretty interesting altar call, wouldn't you say, Sarah? We just see tongues, everybody laying their tongue out, and the pastor step on it. No, I wouldn't do that. Sprinkle pepper on it. But no, I think it's important, and we're learning that, and we're going to continue in that path. So I'm not going to go over a lot on part four, because I really have a volume of information to give to you tonight. It's going to be a lot that I don't think I can get through at all. But having said that, we're going to go ahead and go back a little bit to part four. And the main thing I want to go back to is Mark chapter 11. So let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 19 through 26. We're going to look at that together, and then we're going to segue into tonight's teaching. But again, I don't want to take a long time going back over these things from the last time. Oh, that's chapter 11, 19 through 26. So we're going to just hit that again. Okay, so when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember, he cursed the fig tree. All right, he cursed it. He spoke to it, right? So Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is what? Withered away. It withered away. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. So remember, that's not have just necessary faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Okay? So that means, you know, we're to act like him. And you say, well, that's impossible. No, it's not. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. We're being conformed into his image every day. We're being transformed. The word of God shapes us. If we stay in the word of God, even though we live in the world and we deal with everything we deal with, there's something that happens to us supernaturally when we stay inside of the word of God. We can still get hit with life, but the life and the fiery darts of the enemy doesn't have to stay in us and stay on us, because the word of God is that repellent. That word of God helps us. So that's just a little added teaching there. But verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, you have to do that a bunch of times, shall say unto this mountain. So we got to talk to our mountains. We must remember that from last teaching. We got to talk to our mountains. What is your mountain? What is my mountain? Whatever it is, I have to say to this mountain. I've got to talk to this mountain. See, a lot of people, when they pray, they don't necessarily pray properly. They just pray, God, help me. Okay, what do you want me to do? Well, you know what I need. Just help me. What do you want me to do? Many times Jesus went and said, what do you desire? You know, a person's sick, a person's lame, they have leprosy or whatever. What would you like for me to do? Do you remember stories like that? He was trying to pull faith out of them for them to speak to that mountain and to declare and decree what they were believing for. So many times we just throw prayers up and say, well, Lord, you just know. You just know. Well, he does know, but he wants you to know that he knows, and that in that knowing, he'll help you get through it. But you got to speak the word. He doesn't act on just needs. Well, I feel like preaching. I don't know why. I got to slow down. Must be the heat. He doesn't act on needs. If he did, then there would be no needs in the world. There'd be no wants. But he doesn't act on that. Is he compelled? Yes. Is he of compassion? Yes. Does he have great love? Yes. He's trying to get you out of the seats into the streets to fulfill it. Now, that's not getting over too good. But he's wanting us to do it. And there's things he just can't do and he won't do. And if he won't do them in those realms and arenas, he's not going to do it for you and I, even though we're believers, if we don't speak it. All right, that's pretty good. So, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. So what am I want to do with this mountain? I want it out of here. Yeah. And be thou what? Cast into the sea. So I don't want it already just removed out of my way. I want it drowned. This is extra from last week. I want to drown my mountain. I don't want to see it no more. Some people are content with just seeing the peak. Well, it's almost gone out of my life. I guess I'll just accept it. No, man, I want to drown the cat. I want to get rid of... Not cat. No, don't get me wrong, because somebody will be like, he hates cats. No, I want to kill the thing. How about that? I want to get rid of the thing. And shall not what? Doubt in his heart. So this is a powerful thing, because you can doubt in your mind and still have faith. Let me try that one more time. You can have doubt in your mind, but still have a heart full of faith. He's saying don't doubt in your heart. Where's your heart? Your spirit, man. Where truth abides. But your mind, you battle your mind all the time. Why does your mind battle? Because it's the soul, the mind, the will, the emotion. I feel pain. So my mind thinks, oh my gosh. Right? And then you get the devil over there saying, oh yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. You're done. That hangnail's terminal. You know, he does, doesn't he? And your mind plays tricks on you and different things. Again, it's not Scientology. It's not mind over matter. What it is my spirit. My spirit is stronger than the reality of what's happening to me. Remember, faith is stronger than facts. One more time. Faith is stronger than facts because facts deal with the natural. Faith deals with the supernatural, which supersedes facts in the natural. You see, when God begins to move in miracles, miracles happen because natural laws are suspended and spiritual laws are activated. That's good stuff right there. That's worth the $2 you gave tonight. I mean, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. And so we got to learn how to tap into the supernatural, asking God for a miracle to suspend what's happening naturally around me. We can go on and on about miracles, and maybe one day I'll teach on the giftings. And he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. So no doubt in my heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever what he saith. Let's read this one more time. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever say unto this mountain, I got to talk to my mountain. See, a lot of times Christians don't talk to their mountains. People don't talk to their mountains. They ask their mountains to go. There's some stuff you got to get really mad. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you got to get Popeye mad and say, I had enough. Remember mom and dad saying, I've had enough? They meant that, right? I about had enough. And then you push it a little further, and then they whack you, and then you got it, right? Shall say unto his mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. I believe those things which I've said shall come to pass. See, I don't believe that I can speak to the mountain. I believe that I spoke to the mountain, cast it out, and it went into the sea. I believe that. This is what he says. Those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, not to belabor it, you got to talk. Faith talks. Fear is silent. But faith talks. Fear is silent. People clam up. They get paralyzed and they don't say anything faith-wise. They just say everything the devil tells them or the doctor tells them or the light bill tells you, whatever. And when we clam up with the word of God, you can't. You got to speak faith. Next verse. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire... When you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. This is not a trick thing here, but it's actually, it's either or. If you desire healing, then speak healing. If you desire financial blessings and breakthrough, then speak it. If you don't, then do the opposite, and you're going to get it. You're going to get it. One way or the other, you're going to get blessings, you're going to get cursings. It's up to all of us. But we have to declare it. God wants to bless us, but he's limited. He's limited by what? Us. See, we have this wrong perception of God in the Bible. We think because we're Christians inherently, we inherit all the blessings of God. Well, no, you don't inherit all the blessings of God. Watch this, it might make you mad. You inherit the blessings of God positionally. But if you don't go possess them, they're not yours. That's right. That's This word is full of promises for all of us. And if I don't go in and possess it by faith, it doesn't magically fall on me. It can't. It doesn't operate that way. But if I possess it and go after it and say, Lord, I believe your promises, Jesus, I believe, may not get it fully up here in the coconut, okay, because I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, I got a lot of emotions, I can feel things, but I believe in my heart that this is what you have said, and Lord, I receive it. Now, again, it doesn't happen overnight, it takes time, and that's a whole other thing of faith I'm going to teach later on about faith and patience. They work together. A lot of people don't, you know, in the early name it and claim it days, we didn't talk about patience. There's a whole lot to patience that deals with faith, so we'll get to that later. So therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. So you got to pray, right? You got to get a desire. What's your desire? Now again, it's going to be according to the will of God. We're not talking about something stupid. Believe that you receive them and you shall maybe have them. No, you shall have them. Okay, next verse. And when you stand praying, here we go. This is the part we kind of all get cringy about. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father may also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. So you got to get forgiveness motivated in your life, moving in your life. What is that? Why did he throw that in there? Here's why he threw it in there. Faith and forgiveness work together, because if you have unforgiveness, it blocks faith. It blocks the blessings of God. How can I bless you? This is the Father speaking. How can I bless you when you hold a curse against somebody else? A bitter divorce, bitter relationships, somebody done you wrong song. Come on. Something would happen in your life and you hold it against them. The Lord says you block the channels of blessings. So we have to be careful with that, and we have to get that right. And then finally, next verse. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven, which is in, Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So he can't help me and you if we have aught against our brothers and our sisters, and we're just full of unforgiveness. It's not going to work. Okay? So we got to knock that out of the way and fix that thing. Finally, as you know, just a little bit of a recap, we talked about Hosea 4:6 about my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Remember, that means a lack of understanding. They're cut off from what? The blessings. And then I told you violating natural laws are designed to help you, but they can also be violated and they can what? Kill you. Same is true for violating spiritual laws. Okay? So that was the last time we got together. Bless you. Last time we got together. So let's move to part five. Is that all right? Okay, so here's a couple bullet statements I want to piggyback on last time. But here's some statements I want to give to you. Write this down, if you will. We have two ears and one tongue, so we can listen more than we speak. We have two ears and one tongue, so we can listen more than we should speak. Just a little zingers there. We have two ears and one tongue, so we can listen more than we speak. So what's that got to do with the tongue and faith? It has everything to do with it, because sometimes we just need to listen to the Word of God instead of just trying to mimic the Word of God or just repeat the Word of God or, you know, complain or what have you. Let's listen more. And then I like this one here. God has given us a double fence to keep the tongue corralled. God has given us a double fence to keep the tongue corralled. What is it? Teeth and lips. Teeth and lips. Shut your mouth. Amen. Actually, he's giving you four. Two teeth, upper and bottom, and two lips, right? Keep it shut. Keep it shut. So a little bit of a principle there that I thought was pretty cool, little zingers there. God has given us double fences to keep the tongue corralled, teeth and lips. Again, what does it mean about this? It means everything, because there's some things we just don't need to blab out. There's certain things we just need to be quiet about or when we do speak, we speak the word of God. Okay? All right, so let's move on to some scripture. I like those little things. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. We're going to look at this. We talked before in the beginning about Adam and his ability that God gave him, supernatural ability to name the animals, and that he was able to do so. And when he did so, God said, cool, Adam, that's what it'll be. If it's a giraffe or whatever it was at that time, that's what it was. And we learned a principle, law of first mentions, and we learned something about God and man, that God will allow you to speak your destiny. He allowed you to speak dominion. We find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, where we talked about that even further in. You can see it in the whole chapter. God gave Adam that ability to declare and decree things. So I find it amazing that one of the first activities and assignments that God gave Adam was to speak, to declare, and to decree, to use the power of his mouth, the power of his tongue. And there's a reason why God gave him that ability. Of course, we know it's dominion, and we know it's supposed to be part of the spiritual DNA of our lives. But let's look at this and go a little deeper. And God said, who said? God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his, what? Kind. Kind. The word there in the Hebrew is mem. You can pronounce it mem, E-M-I-N is how it's spelled, but mem. He said, let it be produced after its own kind. And what that word particularly means is that it's of its own original DNA. In other words, when something is hyper-created, per se, let's say they take a seed and they split it with another seed and they put it together, whatever, they'll say, well, that's a new species or that's a new type of variation. That's actually incorrect. It will always be the original DNA of the first DNA of what it was. It can't be anything else. It's not a new species. Is anybody here? Now, I'm not a scientist nor a doctor, but I do study. And so it's an amazing thing. So God said it's going to be after this kind, the original DNA. And so he put that power into these particular yielding things that we just saw here of trees and herbs and grass. So watch this. Whose seed is in itself. Where is the seed? In itself. So God began this process of reproduction and the ability to regenerate into the earth itself. And so you can go now and look at Adam, why he had that ability to speak things that are not as though they were, and made a creative decision, made a creative naming, if you will, to these particular animals, because God had already put that into the earth. So it was already in man's DNA, and it's already in the earth's DNA. Okay? So when you hear scientists say that they've genetically modified this and that, all they did was mess with the DNA, but they'll never take away the original architect of the DNA. So it's nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But science thinks they have done something tremendous. Well, that's cool. You split this gene and that gene, but you still got to go back to the blue genes. I mean, you know, you still got to go back to the original genes, right? And here's another thing that this word means. It also deals with a fixed boundaries. Fixed boundaries, okay? So God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding after his kind. So let there be a fixed boundary, a fixed boundary. Now, the law of first mention, if God has a fixed boundary in the creative order, the reproductive order, the regenerating order of the earth, then God gave man that same ability of a fixed boundary in his word. See, our lives have boundaries. They're fixed. And they're fixed for us. But we got to learn our boundaries through the Word of God and speak in those boundaries. The devil speaks out of boundaries. He's always out of bounds. right? He's always foul. Everything's foul. Nothing's in line. It's always stagnated. It's always scribble. But God is exact. The DNA of man is exact. You can't copy it. You can't reproduce that thing. It's so incredible what God has done. I wish I had the ability to articulate all the veins and the vessels in our bodies and the water levels and the blood levels and the weight of the brain and the heart and how all that functions, because it's amazing. Man can't reproduce that except through the process of reproduction that God gave man. Why? Because there's what? Whose seed is in itself. So this principle from the beginning of the garden, the beginning of creation, goes all the way through to our day in faith. So in other words, the life that I'm going to produce as a Christian should be after his kind. In other words, the DNA of Christ, the DNA of God, not of the devil. I'm not of the devil. Regardless of what some people think. I'm not of the devil. I'm of God. You're of God. You children are what? Of God, right? The Bible says that. We are born of God. So if we're born again, then we have a new DNA, if you will, supernatural DNA, and we speak after the kind of God. The kind or the power of or the creative order or the DNA thereof, the spiritual DNA, of God himself. Because who is in you? Christ. Right. See, this is not a label. Christianity is not a label. Christianity is a reality. Yeah. See, a Christian is not something I want to be. A Christian is who I am, who you are. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you seeing this? There is no difference between the creative order and the natural and the supernatural order of God today in our lives. The fall, I'm going to get ahead of myself. The fall tainted these things and diluted these things. But the resurrection, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, the teaching of Christ has brought life to us and a revelation that was lost in the garden for us today. Whew, I'm feeling good. And this is so, it will revolutionize your life if you learn this. And you're going to have to go back and hear this teaching. Please don't bobblehead Christian this thing, this whole teaching. Go, because I'm telling you, 2 or 3 days from now, you'll be like, you won't remember. You got to get this in your spirit. And I'm not selling anything. You get it free online. Because I'm telling you, it worked for me. It worked for millions of Christians. And it's worked for you too. I'm sure of that. So the word kind there, I want to go back to that, means original, the original kind. That's important to know. Okay. So we know it's the original. So we're going back to the original DNA, if you will. I gave you Ecclesiastes 1:9. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what it's talking about. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, we did this, we developed this. So, great. That's awesome. It's nothing new under the sun. So look at this here. We go back to this where he says, whose seed is in itself. What is a seed good for? Sowing. A seed is good for sowing. What else do you use a seed for? Well, you might eat a sunflower seed, but you got to have seeds for sunflower seeds to have more sunflower seeds, right? So a seed is good for sowing. So God again puts this law first mentioned, and he does what? He shows us sowing. He's teaching us sowing by what he did with creation. This is so good, man. This is so powerful. Now, here's what I wrote about, and I got ahead of myself, but we didn't lose faith in the garden. We didn't lose faith in the garden. We lost control of our tongue. We didn't lose faith in the garden. No, we did not. We lost control of our tongue. And we lost control of our tongue. Why? Because deception came. And a lie was told, and we believed that lie. So I didn't do it. Yes, we did. Our parents did. Well, you don't want to own up to it. Adam and Eve mom and dad from the beginning. Sorry, that's the way it is. Now, my wife has something to say to Eve when she sees her. She's already told me that because of some issues in life, but I said, you must forgive. And I have some things to say to Adam for sleeping on the couch watching the game while the devil was in the living room. Is anybody here? So we didn't lose our faith in the garden. I want to prove that to you in just a minute. We lost our tongue. We lost our confession of faith by deception. The faith became tainted. The faith became tainted. Faith became everything became blurred because of the curse. Now watch this. By taming our tongue, this is something for you to read or write down. By taming our tongue and training our brain, we regain the power and authority and creative power of our faith. Let me read that to you one more time. By taming our tongue, that's why I gave you those two zingers in the beginning, and training our brain, we regain the power and authority and creative power of our faith. We get it back. See, you've got to remember, Christianity, being born again, is everything about getting back what Adam and Eve lost. We get back walking with God. We get back with Him in the cool of the day. We get back up. All that stuff, right? So if it applies to our salvation, don't you think it applies to our faith and the dominion and the creative power and the authority and the ability to speak things that are not as though they were? Absolutely. Because He showed us right here in the beginning that the seed is in itself. And everything is done after its kind. So again, if it is done in the natural reproductive process, the creative process, then it definitely supernaturally is a part of our lives. And we've proven that already through Scripture, and I've got a lot to give to you to even capitalize more on that. So we regain the power and the authority and creative power of our faith. Okay? So let me prove to you. Go to Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4. Let me show you this real quick. Hebrews 11:4, talking about regaining it and the proof that it was passed on. By faith, Abel. Who's Abel? Wasn't that Adam's son? After the fall. After the garden, right? So faith didn't go away, did it? Faith didn't get there when Jesus got there. Faith was always there. Faith got handed to Abel. How do we know that? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, how did Abel give a better offering than Cain? He was shown by Adam. God showed Adam and Eve when He covered them up with their nakedness, right? He covered them up. He showed them sacrifice. He used the skins, right? He had to shed blood, which all that was a precursor to the cross. Okay? It was a precursor to what was going to happen at Calvary. So we know Adam had to show Abel. And he showed Cain. He didn't hold it from Cain. He showed the family. Guys, this is what you do in order to bring an offering unto God. And you do it how? By faith. Right? So we know it's a baton. It was passed on all the way back then. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. So faith brings forth righteousness as well. Doesn't it? It means you do the right thing. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. It was imputed unto him what? Righteous, to be righteous, or righteousness. Okay? God testifying of His gifts, and by it being led, being dead yet speaketh. So look at it one more time. By faith He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. More excellent because it was the right sacrifice, and it was done by faith. Cain's wasn't done by faith. Cain's was done by his own strength, his own ability. Is that right? That's right. by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous. Why? Because he did it by faith. He did it according to God's standard. He did it after God's kind. You get it? He did it after God's kind. What kind? The original process, the original thought, the original ideal. Do the way I'm telling you to do it and you'll be blessed. If you do it the opposite, then you're cursed. It's not that hard. For all of us. Every single one of us. Now, I know it's hard in application and applying in real life, but in principle, it's not that hard. Just learn it and do it. And then he says what? God testifying of his gifts. So faith will bring God to testify for you. I'm going to run around this building and sweat. At 100-something degrees at 9 o'clock. What time is it? 7:45. It testifies. God will testify. In other words, God will be your witness. God will say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's my man. That's my girl. That's my boy. That's my church. That's my people. I'm testifying of the gifts that you're giving. Why? Because you're doing it after the kind that I want you to do it. In the way, in the originality, in my DNA, in my name, in my word. Do you see that? So if we would start learning how to speak the word of God, then we'd start getting the favor of God on us. Now, let me be careful not hyper this. That doesn't mean everything's perfect. You're still going to fight. You're still going to battle. You're still going to go through the flesh and the things that we deal with. This isn't a magical potion. This is a solution to your problem. This can keep you out of future problems. And this can get you out of your present day problem. That's what it is. It's just really the way we should be living. Because anybody gets up and says, well, you can just quote the Bible and have faith and nothing ever happened to you. You're a liar. Because as soon as you open your mouth, the enemy's right there. As soon as you start quoting, the devil comes to the word of God. Do you know that? He comes to see what's happening. I don't have time to go through the birth of Christ and how they tried to kill him and how all angelic activity took place and hell took notice. There's a whole teaching on that. But I'm going to tell you this. When all hell's breaking loose, you better believe you're near your greatest breakthrough. Because hell will send its worst against you when you're just about to have your best. Because he sees something you can't see. Because you're under the cloud of what's happening around you. But really, there's a cloud that's over you. That's a good cloud. All right, that's another teaching. So yeah, okay, let me get off that before I get moving. So faith was passed on after the fall. So let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, 36 through 37. Knock this around a little bit, and I don't know if I'm going to get to everything, man. Need to make Wednesday night 2 hours. What do you think? I didn't get no help. Matthew chapter 12, 36 through... You okay back there, Mark? You all right? All right. I think he said, oh! All right. But I say unto you... Who? Benjamin Faircloth. You. Anybody. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of... What? Maybe we shouldn't read that one. Next verse, and we're going to come back to both of them. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's why you need to read the book, Hung by the Tongue. Go to verse 36 again. Let's look at it. Let's break it down. Let's see what he really means by it. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak. Now, first of all, the word idle there means unemployed, lazy, barren, inoperative word. Okay? Unemployed, inactive, non-working. It also means careless, lazy, and barren. Okay? So let's look at it in a different perspective and just say an idol, because I, when I first got saved, I really struggled with that because I didn't understand the Greek and how to study all that. And I love the joke and I like to have a good time. And so when I got saved, I was really concerned. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't tell jokes. I mean, you know, I can't be funny. I'm going to die. And I didn't understand that. But that's not what it is. How many of y'all had struggled with that when you saw that particular scripture, other scripture? I mean, I really thought you had to be so narrow in your verbiage. Well, you have to be careful with your vocabulary, obviously. You no longer speak the words you used to and cuss like a sailor and those different things. But that's not what it means, because then I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be judged. So I got to go around with a King James voice. Right? How you doing today, Benjamin? Thou wast as doing goodest, yoest, brotherest, I'm happiest. Blessed of the Lord I amest, going inest and outest, in the fieldest. And you know, y'all didn't act that way, did you? But I was concerned. But let's look at it the way it's supposed to be taught. But I say unto you that every barren word, useless, careless word, in other words, words that are not full of faith. We're not talking about your total wordage, verbiage, word count that you do all day long. We're talking about the habitual words, who you really are and how you speak. I mean, you're not going to go to hell and have judgment because you woke up and said, honey, can I have some coffee? How do you King James that? How do you? It's not that. And it has nothing to do with being funny. It has nothing to do with, you know, talking about the weather or the sports. It has nothing to do with that. It's talking about the productivity of the mouth and what you say and who you are, the way you talk. If you talk negative, it's an idle word. It's unfruitful. It's barren. There's no power. There's no life in it. And you'll be judged for that. I will be judged for that because I'm supposed to speak the word. Now this blows Christians away. Say, oh, I thought I could. It's not that you can't talk naturally or with people at your job. You must speak the word of God. If people are speaking negative, you don't go, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We're all going to hell in a handbasket. I'll tell you, right. Woo. Say, no, you're going down. I'm going up. You're going under, I'm going over. You know what I mean? I'm going to fly away, a little birdie. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to do this. I'm not going the way you're going. Does that make any sense at all? So your words can't be lazy. Another thing is some Christians are like, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. Brother, God's in control. Actually, he's not in control. What? No, he's not in control of every situation because every situation he's not allowed to be in control. Y'all don't catch that. We allow him to be in control when we invite him to control. This world is out of control. But yet it's crazy. Of course God sees it. He's in authority in those things. I don't mean that God's not, you know, paying attention. But he has bound himself after his kind. He has bound himself after his words. He has a fixed boundary. And we don't get it. We think, well, God can do anything. Just like the, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me see you run a marathon, honey.
Well, you know, come on, Pastor.
You just said you can do all things, which Christ strengthens you. You got to be strengthened by him to do it. And guess what? He ain't going to sap supernaturally bunny foo-foo and make you into a marathon runner. You got to train. Put the Twinkie down and go. Train. Come on, you get what I'm saying. Of course, God is in control for the purpose of the word control. Got the whole world in his hands. We learned that in his Bible, you know, as little kids. But the reality is there are so many lives that are out of control, including Christians who love God, who go to church all the time. They're out of control. Well, if God's in control, why are you out of control? This is good. If God's in control of my life, then why am I out of control? Because somewhere I let loose and I let God lose control. How do I bring God back? You know, Jesus, take the wheel. How do I do it? I do it by faith. I start talking. I start speaking the word of God. So let's look at that. So that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So we're going to give an account. We'll stand before God. And Jesus will say, well, you know, what did you do with the words I gave you? Next verse. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. It's very easy to see. What did you say? When I told you you were healed, when I told you you're blessed, what did you say? Because you're not going to point a finger and say, well, God, you. He's going to be like, what did you say? Did you say after his kind? Did you say after my word? Did you allow that seed of faith to reproduce in you? He's talking to me too. In fact, it'd be worser on the preachers, if that's a good word, worser. On preachers and teachers. Be careful if you want to preach and be a teacher. You're going to get the worser judgment. Because we should know better. And when I study this stuff, I'm like, oh, ouch. Ooh, oh, Lord, I hurt. Ow. So how do I know this? How do I know this is true? Go to John 6:63. Let's look at this. How do I know this is true? How do, Pastor, you're just talking about speaking words and the tongue and all that. How do I know this is true? Right here. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So the spirit gives what? Life. The flesh don't do anything for you. I mean, I'm glad for my skins and bone and skeleton. I mean, it helps me out, right? Moves around. But it's the spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. The words that I speak, this is Jesus speaking. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and their life. So I can't have idle words in my life that are barren and lazy and careless, unprofitable, unemployed. I got to have the words of Christ in my life because they're spirit and their life. Do you see that? Again, I'm not talking about going around with a King James vocabulary and you're just worshiping everywhere you go. Sir, may I take your order? Yes, you may give me a combo from heaven without mustard. Right? That would be, Flo, if you did that, I'm out. I mean, that would be weird, right? But I know some Christians that are kind of that way. You know, and I'm like, look, Casper, get out of here. You're scaring me. No, we don't do that. But the generality of our life, the totality of our life, the direction of our life should be speaking what Christ speaks. Should be. Because what? There's spirit and life. You want to be quickened? You want to be made alive? You want life? Speak the words of Christ. So many times we speak death. We speak bad things. We got to stop doing that. Remember, your words can be manipulated by hell. Let me try that one more time. Your words can be manipulated by hell. They actually become weapons. Did you know that? Your words, my words, can become weapons that don't only destroy us, but they harm people around us. We have to be careful. But the enemy will use that. There's a great scripture in Job. In fact, I just discovered this. Job 26:4. Let's see how it looks in the King James, but I have another translation in a minute. This really, really, you know, I've read the Bible through before, so, and many portions of it, but this was really cool. This was Job talking about his friends. To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? Here's another translation. It says it this way. I love this because it's just a powerful. He says, again, Job challenges his so-called friends and he says, to whom have you uttered words? And whose spirit was expressed through you? In other words, you're talking for the devil.
Right.
What are you saying? Why is it coming out of you? What spirit is on you? Isn't that powerful? And there's so many times we speak on the behalf of the devil. And then we're hung by the tongue and he uses it against us. And he says, see, you don't believe. See, you give me right to come into your home. You give me right to do this. You give me right to torment your mind or whatever, because you just wouldn't speak spirit and life. What spirit are you of? This is for all of us. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, what spirit is expressing out of us? Well, if I love God and I love the Word, I'm going to talk Holy Ghost talk. I'm going to talk life. I don't, whatever the doctors say, whatever the banker says. No, I'm not going under, I'm going over. I'm going to succeed, I'm going to be fine. Well, you're just denying reality. No, I see reality there, but my faith supersedes your reality. Oh, I didn't say I wasn't going to go through pain. Oh, I didn't say I wasn't going to be on my back. I didn't say I wasn't going to do this or do that. I'm just telling you I'm coming out on this better. That's the spirit coming out of me. What is that spirit? The spirit of life, the spirit of truth, resurrection power. Isn't that a better way to live? I think it's a greater way to live. Can you guys give me 5 minutes? Oh, man, see? So think about it. Think about this. When we begin to talk, we slander, we gossip or whatever, we got to ask ourselves, what kind of spirit is speaking through us? Who's speaking through us? And be careful and repent of it, because the devil will use the words against us. Okay? Remember this too. As the devil begins to use words against us, we have to be careful. When we don't criticize, pray. That didn't go too good over here. Don't criticize, pray. Mama used to say, if you ain't got anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. Now, I'd never listened to that too well, but Flo always says, God don't like ugly. That's pretty close to the same thing, right? God don't like ugly. Well, that's true. And guess what? The devil will use those words against you. You know, the Lord told me this years ago. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, prayer makes you a part of people's lives. Prayer makes you a part of people's lives. And what he was teaching me was the principle of this. If I pray for you, it's really hard for me to criticize and talk about you. Yes. It is. Because my heart is towards you to pray for you. And the Holy Spirit will quicken and say, shut your mouth. Why are you talking that way? You just prayed blessings. Right? So if you pray for people, you'll be less to criticize them. You really will. Okay? So Satan knows that if he can capture our tongues, guess what? He can capture our future. If he can capture your tongue, he can capture your future. Don't let him do it. We got to walk by faith. Look, I don't have time to give you these other scriptures. I was going to teach some more on it. But let me end it with this, ending it with the reality of, again, the law of first mention, going back to the garden, going back to the reality, the creative process, the creative order of God. He gave us this ability to declare and decree the words of life. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. We have to recognize that and realize, what are we going to say to the mountains of our lives? What are we going to say to the issues of our lives? What kind of seeds are we going to sow into our future? Because today, you and I are the direct result of the way we've talked over the years. We are. We're in the position we're in by the way we have spoken our lives. Again, we have to be careful and not to give the devil ammunition. Let's use the ammunition against him, and that's the word of faith. Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak these truths tonight. I pray that, Lord, it would just sink really, really deep into everybody's heart, especially mine, that, Father God, we would all learn how to talk the DNA of God, talk the kind of God, talk the exact DNA that you want us to speak. Jesus, you said it was spirit and life, your words. Let us do that. In a world that's wicked, in a world that's sinful, in a world that is absolutely decaying, let us speak life, Father, and bring hope to those who are hopeless. We love you, Jesus. Keep us safe, Lord, during this heat time. And Lord, we do pray for rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. I'll see you Sunday morning. Be blessed.